RCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Plane crash in Toronto. The Delta flight, 80 aboard, coming to rest upside down at the airport, went on fire. Everyone lived. Toronto Pearson Airport Fire Chief Todd Aiken.
Upon arrival, my team conducted fire suppression. Self-evacuation was already taking place.
At least 19 hospitalized, but all injuries non-life-threatening. The cold is life-threatening in parts of the heartland. Harsh cold descending on the nation's midsection with a polar vortex gripping the Rockies and northern plains. It's been a streak of wild and dangerous weather. Weekend storms pummeling the eastern U.S., floods killing at least 13 people. Death toll from flooding in Kentucky after torrential rains over the weekend now standing at 12. The Kremlin confirming that senior U.S. and Russian officials will hold talks in Saudi Arabia starting tomorrow on improving their ties and negotiating an end to the war in Ukraine. Ukraine says no deal unless it gets a seat at the table. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Badgers get national attention. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers making national headlines after their upset win at Purdue 94-84. Are they poised for a higher seed in the tournament when the selection committee meets next month? Head coach Greg Gard.
We got a lot of basketball left to play before that day comes, so that's great. That means we got the attention of people, right? We're obviously playing good basketball. We're a really good team, and I think we're getting better. And that's the exciting part, that they know there's a lot more left to come. And, you know, that starts with, you know, our next game.
And the Badgers women's team with a win at Penn State yesterday, 75-68. They'll host Northwestern on Sunday afternoon. Baseball spring training underway. The Brewers' Christian Yelich asked how's he doing after that season-ending back surgery last summer.
Yeah, I feel fine. I don't see any reason why I wouldn't be ready for opening day.
That's the Brewers' Christian Yelich. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Earl Ingram.
Mayor Johnson, we used to have a saying called a switcheroo. Talking about one thing while behind the scenes there's a greater issue.
This man was elected president of the United States to focus in on making everyday life more affordable. But our push to remove lead service lines, our health department, are impacted by the things that the Trump administration have targeted since they've been in office. Yeah, it's been a huge switcheroo. It's not been about saving folks money. I mean, this is going to cause more pain.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here today on the big program. Lots to get to, lots to talk about. It's been an interesting weekend listening to pundits and reporters and folks that I know talking about Democrats finally coming around to the reality that they're powerless to stop Donald Trump, something that I said the day after the election. And it's interesting to watch as slowly people are coming around to the reality that bad stuff's going to happen. Shocking, and that we're not going to be able to stop all of it. And that our elected leaders are not the answer. They are not saviors. They're tools to, well, us getting what we want, need, demand, all of that. And what's frightening to me is how silenced some have now gotten. And over the weekend, and the reason I bring this up, over the weekend, a friend of mine who's a reporter called me and said, hey, I can't get any quotes from workers on, you know, this topic that I'm looking into. You know, what do you think? And I said, look, you know, the reality is, and her question was, you know, what do you think of SEIU rejoining the AFL-CIO? And I said, it's a good thing. It would be nice to have a unified House of Labor. It would be nice to have one movement heading in one direction. That's not happening, and it's not going to happen for a while. But it would be good to have that kind of environment where working people are kind of on the same page, demanding you know, within guardrails of the same kind of stuff, because the only way you're going to stop someone like Donald Trump and Elon Musk and the billionaire CEO class that's running our government is with an organized working class, with empowered working people who are willing to stand up. And her surprise and her shock and her dismay had been, well, I can't get any of these people who are getting fired or being mistreated at work. I can't get any of these people who are union members to speak up. And I said, well, the reality is that is right-wing corporate big money Wall Street mission accomplished. That is the CEO class, the bosses beating down on people so badly that they're in fear of just of losing their situation, to use a Dickinsonian frame. Now understand, union members are your most empowered workers. They're the ones who in the workplace have a contract and know that, hey, I've got some backing. I'm not going to drive an unsafe truck down the road. I'm not going to do something that's going to harm myself or someone else. I'm not going to do something really stupid that could hurt the company, even though the boss wants it done, because you're empowered because you have representation. You've got a union. You've got a contract. You've got a mechanism to help protect you. But we're in this weird moment where you've got Trump and Musk and all of these people saying, none of that stuff matters to us. We don't care about your rule of law. We don't care about how things were done yesterday. We're slashing and burning. We're tearing stuff down. And what's also interesting is, you know, some of my red hat friends going, this isn't what we wanted. You know, we wanted cheaper eggs. Eggs have never been higher. But the scary part is that she couldn't find a union worker to come talk with her. Now, understand, the union leaders, because it's their job, say, you know, we'll give you quotes, whatever you need. Our spokespeople will do whatever you need. But they couldn't find someone to speak up. And this is where bad things happen. When the emboldened in society, the union members, are now cowering in fear because they're afraid their firing is next. Because understand, Trump has been firing people left and right. And what I found really cute, I got to tell you, I found it really cute that Lisa Murkowski, the senator from Alaska, released a statement basically saying that, you know, maybe you shouldn't, you know, fire all those workers. She warned that many of these abrupt terminations will do more harm than good, stunting opportunities in Alaska and leaving holes in our community. And you go, that's so cute. You actually think they care about you or your community or the giant holes they're leaving across this country. No, that's the plan. And I also found it incredibly telling that the folks over at military.com, the headline of their article talking about how Elon Musk has basically just swapped up all of the veterans' data when they took over the Treasury system, the headline was Infinite Nightmares at Once. And that, to me, that's really, that's the sum of what's happened over this first month. You have an administration where there are no guardrails. There's nothing constraining them. The courts, you kidding? Democrats are spending a lot of time, effort, energy. We're going to go to the courts. We're going to have the judges. And what did Musk and company want to do? Oh, yeah, we're going to impeach the judges who don't agree with us. They're basically telling us to our face, Your little pesky laws, those things that you live by, they don't matter to us. We're the billionaires. We're the people who own this stuff. And we will do whatever, whenever, and however we choose. Now, while we still have an opportunity to vote, and that may or may not happen in 2 years, there are some who are on the side of it. You know, we had the last free and fair election and we screwed it up. There's those. And there are folks who are going, no, if we, you know, if we get out and we do more, you know, the Obama thing, you know, if they can't steal all of them. Can they? Or can they just fear people into it? Now, I go back to this frame. Infinite nightmares at once. Because remember, it was about the eggs. we had an election about eggs. Because I want cheap eggs again. But what did Trump go and do? Went and fired a bunch of the people who work at the laboratories in this national network of 58 facilities that were responding to the bird flu. Evidently, they were notified Friday that a quarter of the staff, that they were going to be fired. I see this one of two ways. One of two ways of, if nobody notices that we have a bird flu, then we don't actually have it. And this is just the free market at work. And, you know, maybe the dead birds that are dying, maybe they just sell them to the chicken processing plants and you end up eating those and you don't know. And ignorance is bliss, and whatever happens, because this is the world they want to take us back to, the wild, wild west where there's no FDA. There's no EPA. There's no one watching what corporate America is shoving down our throats. There's none of that. There's just good old fashioned capitalism. And I'll tell you, you know, the people who tell us that they're the smart ones, that they're the geniuses. I loved the story that came out over the weekend because they fired a bunch of people at the National Nuclear Security Administration. Because what could go wrong firing, you know, a large number of people from the National Nuclear Security Administration? What could possibly go wrong? Well, they decided, finally figured it out. Uh-oh, maybe this was a bad idea. And this tells us one of three things, to be honest. One, they've got no idea what our government does. And two, they're not curious enough to ask. And three, they don't care. Not even a little bit. Could care less. So they went and they fired all these people. And then someone said, over here, maybe that was a bad idea. So here's the funny part. Here's the hysterical part. They didn't know how to get a hold of these people. This is the federal government. They didn't know how to use all of the information that they have to find these people to tell them, okay, we're sorry. We didn't mean to fire you. Please come back to work. They didn't know how to find that. Now, me, I said, simple. Why didn't they just call AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees, and go, hey, your members that we fired, do you think they want their jobs back? You could have done that because I'm sure they have that information. But our federal government, with Elon Musk and his little Doge ferrets, evidently they couldn't find it either. And I guess this is what happens when you fire someone on your company email and then have no other way of reaching them other than your company email that you shut them out of. And yeah, this is how we're running our government. Now remember, these are the people who are the smart people. These are the people who we're going to run government like a business. Anybody want to explain what kind of business operates in this fashion and still operates? Now, as I've said from the beginning, the reality is they want to destroy the federal government. They want to destroy the mechanisms by which we govern ourselves. And look, as I was saying to my friend, the labor movement is really the last line of defense, because Democrats aren't the great defenders. The courts aren't going to be weak and ineffective. The Supreme Court certainly is not going to stand up to them. And Republicans, Congress, you kidding? You think there's a Republican out there? Lisa Murkowski's quote unquote one of the good ones, and she fires off a really weak, oh, but hey, you know, it's going to do more harm than good. Because we know you want to do good. Nonsense. They want to do the harm that they're doing. They want the suffering that they're causing. And this is where I come back to. And you've heard me say this 1,000 times. The solutions will come out of the savagery of the suffering from their savagery. The more of this stuff they do, the more harm they cause, the more, re-education camps for kids with ADD or whatever nonsense they're throwing out. That's going to be the opportunity. they're going to do bad stuff. And where Democrats need to put their energy, where activists need to put their energy, is in what will we do? How do we fix what they've screwed up? Because understand, what we're living through is the culmination of 40, 50 years of anti-government sentiment. Government's bad. Government can't do anything right. Government sucks. It doesn't matter. Blow the whole thing up. Doesn't matter. Until people start realizing, uh-oh, I've had a few people. I'm not getting my check. The thing I was expecting didn't happen. The grant that we were going to get to do this thing isn't coming. Uh-oh, the system is grinding to a halt. And that is going to cause a lot of grief. The question, what solutions to that will we have ready come election time next, in what, 2026? What solutions are you going to be running on? Going, look, we gave Doge Boy and his little ferrets access to the Treasury. And what did they do? They swept up all of the data of our veterans. Think about that. Their disability ratings, how much they're paid, their medical records, all kinds of stuff that why would you want? They also shared classified information with the world on the internet, on their website. I wonder if anyone's going to want them to go to jail. And I still have people asking me, you know, where are the guardrails? How come he can do this? Because everyone to this point still believed in this country, still believed in the rule of law, still believed in the sanctity of that office. These people don't. These people are full of nothing but thirst and quest for greed and power. And nothing's going to stand in their way. Donald Trump is somebody who's never been told no. Elon Musk is someone who believes he can buy his way out of anything or intimidate his way out of anything. These are who these people are. This is that. So this idea that, oh, the courts are going to stop him. Really? The entire billionaire-funded think tank world. All of the stars have aligned. You know, someone asked, you know, why is this Trump administration worse than the first? And did you expect this? And I said, yes. I told you during the campaign, this administration was going to be a million times worse than the first administration because no one gave Trump a chance. This time they had Project 2025. They had a very clear playbook and told us what they were going to do and wrote it down. And now we're surprised? Now we're shocked they're doing it? Now we're shocked that they're actually, but I thought that was just rhetoric. And I guess you could give Trump credit for doing what he said he was going to do. It was us that was stupid, not all of us. But unfortunately, a majority, or at least the ones who showed up to vote. So we're going to suffer. We're going to pay the consequence. And where my activism is and where my mindset is where do we, when we have to clean up this mess, when we got to get the shovels out instead of the pitchforks, what are we going to rebuild? My grandfather always used to say, any idiot with a hammer can tear down a house. We're watching a bunch of idiots with hammers tear down our house. What are we going to do with those tools once we regain control? How will we rebuild our house? And will we hold them accountable? That, to me, that's the direction I believe we should go. And any Democrat worth their salt should be thinking in those exact terms. But I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. It's going to be a long, long year, but we're going to get through this. Trust me, gonna get through it, and we're going to do it together. Right back. Stick around.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So look, we're coming to a point where a government shutdown is you know, possible. And I'm seeing some signaling. I'm not quite sure Democrats have the spine, but I'm seeing some signaling that Democrats aren't going to bail the Republicans out if they can't get their you-know-what together. Because understand, Democrats are powerless to actually do anything. They can filibuster, but I fully expect Republicans to blow right through that. What Republicans understand right now is this is their moment. This is that wet dream moment where I'm going to get everything I've ever wanted. This is that moment where there is no. The only no is going to come from within. And Democrats are going to have to stand back, you know, raise as much cane as they can, procedurally do whatever they can do to slow the ship down. But ultimately, Democrats are on the outside looking in. And they're trying to figure out what they're doing next. There's no one who's come to the forefront who's going to be the next presidential candidate yet. They're just going, well, let's see how this works out. Because none of them wanted to pick up, be the focus of the ire of Trump. And I think in this moment, somebody needs to be. But Democrats are going to have to sit back and take it on the chin. But don't do anything to make it worse. And this is where not bailing Republicans out on the debt ceiling is a big part of this. And these continuing resolutions and all this stuff that are coming kind of makes you go, I'd like to see where this takes us. Now, House Freedom Caucus, those kooks, we'll see what they do. But ultimately, it's on them. All of this that they've pushed for, this is them. This is their baby. They've got the keys to the steamroller, and they're going to be able to either steamroll us over, or they're going to drive it into the ditch. Because what Trump is doing right now, and I ask my red hat friends, is this what you wanted? Now, there are some who said, yeah, I want to tear everything apart. I want to dig into our government. And I want to root out every last bit of waste, fraud, and abuse. And you go, you mean like, you know, Social Security payments for seniors? You mean, payments to help people with disabilities? What do you mean by that? Well, we don't know. Well, cats walking on treadmills. That's the one that keeps being thrown back out at me. And I go, well, did you read the grant proposal on, you know, maybe why they want to know what happens? We used to be a country that used to ask questions of, why this and then how this would help us. There's a lot of scientific stuff to be learned. We used to want to learn. Yeah, but not with my money. Okay, fair. Then when the next pandemic hits, we just won't know it came. And the anger is quite real. And I get it. I do. I get the want to tear down. I get the want to
cause great pain and suffering to others. Because look, a lot of working people have been struggling. But how are we going to turn that around? Has Trump done anything? And this is what I keep asking. Has Trump done anything yet that has made anyone's life better? Have grocery prices come down any? No, in fact, they've gone up. Have gas prices come down any? Nope, they've gone up. The cost of living has gone up. Inflation has gone up. Now they go, well, that's Biden inflation. We haven't yet seen how bad it's going to be. And understand, the people who are in charge of making those numbers now are the Trump administration. And do you believe anything that comes out of this administration going forward when they've destroyed and fired any independent thinking? It's now loyalists. We've made patronage great again, and only people who are loyal enough. And they've been honest about that. The woman that they fired from the Federal Labor Railway Authority, she wasn't loyal enough. And you ask the question, what is loyal enough? Oh, yeah, to do whatever you're told to do, whenever you're told to do, however, and you're supposed to know it as well. Now, I keep coming back to, will Democrats bail Republicans out again over a shutdown? I don't know. You know, March 14th is the shutdown day. March 14th, I've got it circled on my calendar to see what happens. Now, this is another one of those things where you go, where, you know, does Trump go, we're just not going to honor it. We'll see. But I would love to hear. So if someone's got a thought on, is this making your life better? I want to hear how. Because all I see in the news are we're going after immigrants, and evidently not as many as we thought. The stories of the bus going and picking people up, not as easy and as large as everyone, you know, really thought. In fact, I've had a couple of my redhead friends going, I thought it would be bigger. I thought there would be more. I thought there would be much more visual anger. It's almost like misery porn. It's like this person wanted to see this kind of misery because, you know, it was going to do it for him. But he's like, you know, I've been a little disappointed that it's not. I should give him the benefit of the doubt. Let me be as gracious as I can be. I'm going to say that his thinking, and I don't know this because I couldn't stop laughing as he was talking. I'm going to say his thinking is he was told the problem was so large that there was so many people right there that you would just drive up to any Home Depot and you could just 1,000 people you could pick up. Now, I don't know many people who've gone to the Home Depot and found undocumented workers just hanging around waiting to do projects. But evidently that's something that happens in the South occasionally. I don't know anybody who's seen it here. But I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that he believed that there was a lot more opportunity for ICE to just go and round people up. And not that he wanted to see more doors kicked in and people shot while reaching for the remote control. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt because, look, I think he, in his heart and soul, if you dig down deep enough, decent guy. But still wants that pain and suffering. Still wants the other out. Wants the 1950s vision of America. And a little disappointed it's not happening fast enough. And I'll tell you, I'm a little surprised that we haven't seen a lot more. Could that be that the chaos is just so widespread that our media doesn't know what to cover first or next? Is it that there are so many other things like firing federal workers that we said was going to happen during the campaign that they just, you know, that immigrant thing, I haven't thought about it. Is it, you know, sending the troops to the border? Is that enough that made people go, oh boy, we better run? I'm sure we're going to get the spin very soon. The numbers aren't there. So what do we need to do? We need to rename the Gulf of Mexico. We need to rename the mountain in Alaska. And this is, I got to tell you, this is, I read this and I might, I'm like, really? This is what we want to do? Seriously? Evidently, and I am not making this up, evidently it has been reported by the New York Times that while Trump's been busy doing what he's doing, you know, basically destroying the federal government, privatizing, profitizing, and opening it up for theft and fraud, evidently he's told associates that he wants to rip up the grass in the Rose Garden, one of the White House's most iconic and meticulously maintained spots, and replace it with a hard surface that resembles the one that he has in Mag-a-Lago. Yeah, we're going to tear up the Rose Garden. Put down some rock! That's America. Back after this.
News from the center, WRCE. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cold weather advisory in effect. Mostly clear and bitter cold tonight. A low of 15 below, wind chill to 25 below. Mostly sunny and staying cold tomorrow. A high of 5 above. And partly sunny and near 10 above Wednesday. Currently, it's 4 below.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Got to tell you, all during the break, my mind kept going to, you know, all of those incredible Rose Garden ceremonies, how beautiful the Rose Garden is. And, you know, it's one of those, it's almost like a national treasure. It's one of the things that, you know, my wife always loved seeing. I can't imagine. I can't imagine paving that over. We want to put Home Depot paving stones in. Anyway, and that's one of the least chaotic things Trump is talking about. Here to share some thoughts on some of the other, well, some of the other insanity. I've asked my good friend Sarah Burris to come share some thoughts. Sarah's a reporter over at Raw Story, rawstory.com, the website. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
I really love the Rose Garden, too. It was so pretty, and it was lovely to see. You know, they used to do those garden tours twice a year, once in the spring, once in the fall. You could walk around the White House gardens, and it was lovely. It was lovely, and now it's just parking lot.
Yeah, we're gonna pave it over and put up a parking lot.
Pave paradise.
And what would you expect from a slumlord?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I'm shocked he's not trying to make money off of it at this point, because I don't know how else they're gonna be able to make money to pay all the people that they're gonna have to bring back on after they destroy the government. So.
Well, no, they're not going to bring them back. They're going to privatize it all. That's the game. That's the game right there. The mass firings are to go. What they're going to try and do, and it hasn't worked so far. I think this is going to really backfire. They thought they'll be able to do what Doge Boy did at Twitter and fire most of the people, and the machine just keeps running. But I think we're going to see a lot. I think we're going to see a lot different tone in the next couple of months.
Well, for sure. That the idea was, just fire everybody, and then if something breaks, then we hire people back to fix what broke. And the government doesn't work that way. Like, the government is not Twitter. It's not something where, you know, people have to have it, right, to survive. Maybe if you're like super tech addicted or whatever. But yeah, the thing that has been crazy to me is I think if you look at all of the contractors, and we saw this with the military industrial complex, the more contractors that you have, the more money you're spending. If you have a employee, right, who is a career employee, who's making, you know, good money, good benefits and a pension, then they stay at that level. If you're negotiating with a really big company like Booz Allen or Lockheed or whatever, then you're basically going to get fed, you know, their budget, their line item, say, this is how much, you know, you're going to have to pay for it. And so what we've seen now with the Department of Energy, over the weekend, I guess they figured out that they fired a bunch of people who need the, who watch like all of the nuclear weapons and stuff. And it turns out that you actually do need people to keep an eye on the nukes in the United States. And so now they're trying to find those people that they've fired. And at that point, it's like, I'd charge you triple. You know, I'd be like, yeah, I'll come back for another 100,000.
Yeah, yeah. No, and this is where wouldn't you have just called their union? Yeah, I'm sure their union would have been able to help you find where they are. Go, hey, you want your jobs back? And I do find it ironic that, and this is what I said at the beginning, it tells me one of three things. One, they don't know what government does. They have no idea, no clue what government is or what it does. Two, they're not curious enough to ask. And three, they don't care. Right. And it's the don't care that's the most dangerous, because the other two, you could just, well, they're stupid, they're incompetent. No, this is that next step. Stupid and incompetent, but the next step as well.
You're seeing that in particular with the Doge boys, because what happened this week is Elon Musk started posting classified information on the Doge website, and then some hacker was able to hack the Doge website and basically put code in it that was making fun of them, saying these are supposed to be the smartest people, you know, in the tech world. And I just hacked their website in like half an hour. Yeah. So, you know, again, like these are not the best and the brightest, and they're firing people who actually knew what they were doing. And I think that's the one thing that we're hearing, I think, from everybody on Capitol Hill, is they're like, look, if you want to reduce the size of government, it's one thing, but don't just like take an axe willy-nilly to everything, because you're going to break it. But again, maybe that's what they want.
No, that's
what they've wanted for a long time.
It's the point.
Yeah.
And I wish Democrats would stop. I wish people would stop with, oh, we got to give them the benefit. No, they have told you they want to break the machine. They have told you they hate government. Because they understand government is the only thing that can hold them personally accountable. They understand that better than anything. And one, you know, Elon's not going to get to be a trillionaire unless government's broken. So we've got to rob and pillage and also make sure there's no way of going back after him when the crimes are done.
Yeah. And I mean, the thing that kind of broke my heart is, so on Friday, we got the news that there was just a decimation of the Department of Agriculture. Now, the Ag Department exists in DC, but there are tons and tons of ag jobs and workers in the states themselves.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, that is now trickling down to red states.
Good.
Right. And then there was a bunch of grants that were frozen from USDA too. And so there was a big lawsuit last week. And they won the lawsuit. So it's like all of these people who had their grants taken, the court said, no, you can't take their grants. You signed this contract. And so now it's like, what do you do with that? My friend's organization still has the bank account frozen. So, you know, do you just take the ruling, the court ruling to the bank and be like, we won, give me my money back. And the other thing too, is like, I had friends who were meeting with Oklahoma Republicans this week, Frank Lucas, and basically their office just sat there with no emotions, like, sorry. I mean, it just made it very clear that Republicans do not care whatsoever. I think there are some who are legitimately scared because they're just, you know, wimps. And then there are the rest, the majority, who probably just don't care.
Nope. I got my job. I got the cushy gig. All I got to do is stay loyal to dear leader, not get on his radar. I'll be fine. Don't tick off the extreme on the right and the big money. We'll be fine. Collect my pension. This is fascism 101.
And, you know, I feel bad for people because I know that they're desperate. And there was a constituent call for the senators in Maryland, and people were asking these questions like, you know, what do we do? What are you doing? And it was very much a political answer from Democrats that were just like, you know, just keep doing what you're doing and keep fighting the good fight. And it's like, people don't have mortgages.
Why?
Like, people have mortgages that they have to pay and they don't have. I get that.
But why are we asking? Why are we asking these people? Why are we asking them for direction? They don't know.
Well, I mean, for sure they don't know, but they have no power. I mean, I don't get why they're even in Washington. At that point, they need to be out in the states. And I mean, maybe they start leading the march, right? Because they're a waste of space
on
Capitol Hill.
Yeah, that'd be something. But here's the thing. Democrats are doing what Democrats do, and they're staying between the lines, which is why there were people going between the velvet ropes on January 6th. So just pay attention to that. The Democrats are the ones between the velvet ropes right now. Everything else is being torn up around us, but they're staying. We're going to go to the courts. And look, Trump has already told you, basically, we don't care what the courts think. That doesn't matter to us. Doge Boy has certainly said he doesn't care what the rule of law is, because it doesn't apply to him. So asking a politician to go, what should we be doing? And then him say, you know, just keep going. Yeah, let's keep doing the same thing that we keep getting our butts kicked over and over again. I don't know. I don't know that that's a leader I want.
Well, I think, too, the idea that that we're just going to put all of our faith in elected officials is frustrating, because I think it's clear that they have no power, but I don't think that they have any real ideas for not what to do in this situation, but even what's next. Like, they have no real ability to see the whole board, to look at it like a chess game and look at what the next moves are. You don't need the folks on Capitol Hill to do these lawsuits. This is what, you know, like Norm Eisen and the legal nerds are all up to, and they're doing great and they're winning lawsuits. You just have to have a judge who is willing to then dispatch the U.S. Marshals and say, U.S. Marshals, I have this court ruling. Congratulations, you're the one who gets to enforce it. Go open the USAID doors.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for a judge to do it, because we have judges in DC that I feel like would, you know, have the guts to do that.
And that's what we need. You certainly need that, without question.
Exactly.
And the Democrats have proven to me time and time again that none of them are that person. We're gonna have some rhetoric. I want somebody who's gonna. And I've said this for years. I've been doing this show almost 20 years. I've been saying this for 20 years. Democrats are always the people who, in a street fight, will offer to hold your coat. I want the guy who's going to take your coat, put it over your head, and beat you with it. Because at some point, you have to get into the mud with the rest of them. You know, this whole the Michelle Obama thing was cute.
Yeah.
When they go low, we go, no, no, no. And when she said that, I go, no. When they go low, you put their face in the dirt. Anybody who's ever played football will tell you that.
It's very clear she has abandoned that.
Okay.
Because she's just like, you know, screw it. I'm not showing up for any of your stuff. Like, I don't care if I'm.
Yeah. That's not the answer either. You know, because I've had people go, I don't care. I'm not getting involved. I'm not even paying attention. That's a victory for them.
For like the public stuff. For like the funeral where she was going to have to sit next to Trump and the inauguration and stuff. She's just like, psh.
Yeah, no.
Screw all y'all.
No.
But yeah, I mean, and again, like, I feel like if we had the Obamas out there, again, it would be this idea of putting your faith into this savior when you say over and over again, like, we are the ones that we've been waiting for. Like, we have to be the ones that save ourselves.
Now, you do need leaders. You need someone who's going to marshal the soldiers. Not everyone's going to be the leader, but you do need someone. But this idea that you know, we're going to then go, oh, you're the leader, you go do it. No, we've got to go do it. And this is what's frustrating to me. And as I started today's show off with a friend of mine who's a reporter, you know, called me and asked, you know, my thoughts on SEIU rejoining the AFL-CIO. And that the fact that she could find no workers to talk to her about any labor issue right now because everyone's scared. Everyone's afraid of what's going on. And, you know, that kind of thing is what's frightening to me, because when the most empowered people are silenced or have given up and pulled back, that's when they get to do whatever they want.
And that is what I feel like we're seeing right now with the media. The interesting story I saw Friday before I left for the day was that the Wall Street Journal reported that CBS's parent company, Paramount, is talking about not settling their lawsuits with Donald Trump. And they had been saying that, like, indicating that they were going to do it. This is over the 60 Minutes thing where they're like, oh, this was surreptitiously edited or whatever. And I don't really understand how there's some kind of defamation or whatever, but, you know. And in this story, the thing that blows my mind is the board, I guess, realized that settling the lawsuit would make it look like bribery, because they're trying to merge with somebody else and they have to have approval from the government to do it. And it's like, oh, you mean all those people that were talking online saying this is straight up bribery and you know, attacking all of the other outlets that are like, please don't hurt me, here's all this money, right? Now Paramount is like, oh, this could be bad. Like, you think?
Well, every news organization should have come to ABC's defense. And they should have made that stand at that moment and made sure that none of this happened. Because all you've done is you've emboldened Trump to do more of it. He understands, and his whole career, he's understood frivolous lawsuits. You've talked to Michael Cohen. You know what they were. You know what they did.
Yeah, and the thing that happened with the AP, where basically the AP got kicked out of the Oval Office because they said that they didn't like their coverage. No one should have been there. Like, every single reporter who was in the White House Correspondents Association should not have been there. Yep. They should have been like, you know, until you let the AP back in, you know, it's all for one and one for all. And that didn't happen. And it's just like, oh, you guys, you're screwing it up. You're screwing it up. Like, take a stand. Come on.
Yeah, do your constitutionally protected duty. Do why you have a special protection. Do that.
And it's not as if, you know, they couldn't get information. You really don't need to be in that room anymore. They're not going to tell you anything that you don't already know. The only real reason to be in the press briefing now is to try and ask a question that's going to make them look like an idiot. And that's just, like, you know, same soup, different day.
Yeah.
So.
No, it's crazy where we are. But, hey, the good thing is egg prices. Huh? How about those egg prices? How about that gas?
Yeah.
How's that gas working out for you?
So I went to the grocery store on Sunday and I took a picture, and it was the cage-free version was like 9.5. And then the regular was like 7.5. The 18 egg was over $14. And I was just like, dang, guys. Again, I'm going to say it again. Y'all get some chickens. Chickens are great.
Oh, but, you know, they don't have bird flu. Hmm?
I know. Like, if you're not one of those, like, monstrous chicken farms, right? Like, you got to make sure your chickens don't have bird flu. But they're not around other animals, you know, other cows and stuff that have bird flu. Isn't it weird, though, that cows are now getting bird flu and hogs are getting bird flu?
Well, thank goodness that they cut the employees at the department that oversees that. So we won't know. And that'll be good. It'll be good not to know, because we could, you know, we'll have plenty of chickens for dinner now.
And one of the last studies that they did, that they released, I think, maybe it was Friday, it was either Thursday or Friday, they released a study that said that more humans have contracted bird flu than they anticipated. The largest quantity of them are veterinarians who are large animal doctors who are working with cattle. So there are a bunch of veterinarians that do work with cattle who have the H1N1 antibodies in them now, who have the or H5N1 antibodies because they've had bird flu and didn't know. So there are a ton more people than we knew before.
So what you're telling me is you're telling me that the cattle, the beef prices are going to be going up soon.
I don't know that it's necessarily beef prices. I think it's going to be milk prices. And because it's predominantly happening in dairy cattle. So, and what we had been doing for USDA is they were testing the milk in like four different states that are big dairy producers. Do those people still have jobs? Like, is that still happening? You know, should I?
Quarter of them are gone.
Gonna have to, yeah, like, am I going to have to, like, get a cow and put her in my parking space downstairs? Like, what?
And understand, that's the point. You know, and I keep asking my red hat friends, is this what you voted for? And again, there's a segment of them that, yes, we want to destroy everything. Our lives are so miserable, we want to tear it all down. And there are others who are like, I just wanted cheaper eggs.
And you're like, how's that working out for you?
Well, as I said, put on the show yesterday, they would have egg on their face if they could afford it.
Hey-o. I noticed the egg beaters were not any more expensive. You could get like a half liter of egg beaters for like $5.
Are those real eggs, though?
I thought they were egg whites.
I don't know what they are, to be honest.
Colored.
Well, there you go. Yellow. Maybe that's the alternative. Or you just do like we do. Don't buy them.
Or, I mean, if you remember, if you add enough cheese to anything, it's going to be awesome.
I'm not advocating for that, but we'll leave that to you. But as always, Sarah, good stuff. Appreciate the thoughts. I hope you feel better.
Thank you. Have a good week.
You as well. Our good friend, Sarah Burris. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. Is it all working out? Is this the plan? Is this what we were sold by the Trump folks during the campaign? Or do I get to say I told you so? I'm in the I told you so camp. Back after this. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1932. That was the day that working people in the United States said goodbye to one of their great heroes. Florence Kelly was born in 1859. Her father, William D. Kelly, was a U.S. Senator. Senator Kelly was an abolitionist and was concerned about the conditions under which working people toiled. He passed that concern on to his daughter. Florence enjoyed the finest education, studying at Cornell University, the University of Zurich, and the Union College of Law. She became a vocal opponent of child labor and sweatshop conditions. She found camaraderie with like-minded women, including Jane Addams and Ellen Gates Starr at Hull House in Chicago. Kelly soon became an important addition to the work of this famed settlement house. Jane Addams' nephew remembered her as the finest rough-and-tumble fighter for the good life of others that Hull House ever knew. She began to visit local factories around Hull House to document unsafe working conditions and the use of child labor. Based on her careful research, the Illinois legislature passed a law banning children under the age of 14 from working in factories. Florence was named the first ever chief factory inspector in the state of Illinois. From Chicago, she moved on to New York, where she helped to found the National Consumer League. The league supported the fight for the 8-hour workday and was a leader in the fight against sweatshops. Florence was also a founding member of the NAACP. She helped to found the National Child Labor Committee, a group dedicated to ending child labor. In response to their work, in 1912, the U.S. Children's Bureau became part of the federal government. It was the only federal agency at the time run by women. Like what you hear? Check out more at laborhistoryin2.com.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
So I gotta tell you, J.D. Vance has got some stones. You gotta give him credit, man. Huge stones when you're telling the Germans that they're being too mean to Nazis. What? And his cute little joke. If you can endure Greta Thunberg, you can endure Donald... What? Or Elon Musk. I'm going, what? And I got to tell you, there's part of me that goes, if I'm Musk, maybe he should be taking that personally because J.D. Vance is comparing him to a little girl. Yeah. But, you know, one of the things that got my attention this week, and then again, there are a couple of things that are really, I think, worth pointing out and paying attention to. Understand, Trump is about Trump. Musk and them, you know, it's about their power and their control. And anyone who has the audacity to question them, they will be dealt with. Because it's all about loyalty. It's all about patronage. It's all about doing what you're told and staying in line. Which is why I thought it was interesting when Georgia Governor Brian Kemp requested that the federal government give local governments more time to weed through the paperwork and all the red tape and all the stuff that goes along with applying for federal disaster assistance because of Hurricane Helene. Remember, you know, when that was going on, there was all of the, you know, Joe Biden's collecting your information and, you know, all of this, the FEMA troops are coming for you and, you know, FEMA's taking your stuff. All of this made up, you know, just total garbage social media kind of posts that scared the you-know-what out of the dim. And so they ran, and they didn't get the benefits that they should have gotten to help them rebuild their lives. So Brian Kemp, knowing this, goes, hey, there's a Republican in the White House. You can trust a good Republican. And went to the Trump people and said, hey, you know, can we have some more time to weed through this so that we can get assistance to people because need it. No, it was denied. And my mind goes to a place of, if I'm Kemp, do I even bother? Because you know the answer is going to be no, because Brian, you weren't loyal. You weren't sufficiently loyal. And that's got to be punished. And the punishment for Brian Kemp not being loyal is that his constituents, the people of Georgia, will not get the assistance that they need. Now, look, someone like me who goes, you know, you put this guy in the White House, take your medicine. That's half of my brain. The other half goes, you know what? The sad reality is people are going to suffer and people are going to struggle and lives are going to be worse. And then I revert back to the other side of my brain going, yeah, dummy, that's what you've been saying. It's going to take that to make people wake up to the fact that Republicans don't care and have never really cared. There was always just enough, you know, compassionate conservatism to get to vote for us. And now, you know, Trump has just come right out and said, no, you're getting nothing from us. And finally, border czar Tom Homan was on CNN. And you may remember, you know, the back and forth between him and New York City Eric Adams about, you know, going into Rikers Island to get to pump up their numbers. He went on CNN to, you know, say, well, you know, it may have sounded like a quid pro quo, but what it was he said, quote, this is two cops talking. We're talking cop. Once you're a cop, you never lose that language. he said, this is a conversation between two cops having a good time. And people are making a lot out of nothing. And I got to tell you, if you're a cop, you might want to push back on that. Because that ain't very good. Not a good look when talking cop means we're going to violate people's rights. And we're going to go into a prison setting. Doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. But I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Maybe it does. Maybe somebody goes, yeah, that's what cops do. Yeah, they're like plumbers. They're just talking plumbing. rick@thericksmithshow.com. If you miss any portion of the show, make sure you grab the podcast and freespeech.org to check out the video. It's going to be a long, interesting week. I hope you're up for it. Thanks so much for being here. We'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to The Rick Smith Show. Email Rick. At rick@thericksmithshow.com. Until next time, this has been The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A Delta plane crashes at Toronto's airport, flips upside down. All 80 aboard survive. Toronto Pearson Airport President and CEO Deborah Flint.
First and foremost, there was no loss of life. And this is in due part to our heroic and trained professionals, our first responders at the airport.
Hundreds of federal employees left reeling over the weekend after the mass layoffs from the Trump administration. Elizabeth worked for the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
We were just basically tossed out on the streets. And so that has been angering and heartbreaking.
Brutal, life-threatening cold as a polar vortex descends on the Rockies and northern plains today. Wind chills dropping to 60 below in parts of North Dakota. The Vatican says Pope Francis will stay in the hospital a while longer and will require more targeted drug treatment. Officials said the 88-year-old Pope is suffering from a polymicrobial respiratory tract infection. This is ABC News. 88-year-old Pope Francis remains in a hospital in Rome. ABC News chief international correspondent James